You're listening to the Buckeye Visualist Podcast Show.
Welcome to another episode of the Buckeye Visualist, a podcast for members of the Ohio News Photographers Association, which aims to support Ohio's professional and student visual storytellers. I am your host, Lori King, and I thank you for listening. Before I introduce my next guest, I want to say how special this episode is to me. As many of you know, I'm an adjunct multimedia instructor at several universities, including Wayne State University in Detroit. I've been in the classroom teaching the next generation of photojournalists for more than a decade, and I want you to know that I really believe it's important to keep shining the light in darkness with your visual stories. So I'm dedicating this show to all of you student photojournalists out there. I knew who my guest was going to be moments after it was announced on the ONPA website, the 2021 Chuck Scott Student Photographer of the Year. Welcome, Aaron Burke. I'm excited to hear all about your life as a student photojournalist, including what it's like being president of the NPPA student chapter. Before we begin, I want our listeners to know what you wrote on your website bio. I have to say, you're very much a humanist. I'm glad you've chosen a career that allows you to document people's lives with a camera. Aaron is a visual storyteller who documents the confluence of tenderness and resilience in people's lives. In her work, she examines the search for togetherness amidst isolation and how history impacts the present. Born in the United States and raised in the Marshall Islands, she is currently studying photojournalism and history at Ohio University and has produced work for the Smithsonian Center for Folklife and Culture Heritage and the TEDx program. I also want to welcome my Wayne State photojournalism class, who are actually with us today. You will have a chance to ask Aaron questions after she speaks. So Aaron, congratulations on your CPY win. Oh, you must be proud.
Thank you.
Before we get into the details of what it took to win that award, can you tell us what inspired you to become a photojournalist?
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. That's a really good question. Growing up in the Marshall Islands, I was really surrounded by like heritage of the past, as well as the ways that climate change were currently affecting preservation of that. And after breaking my arm once, my mom got me this little film camera. I basically fell in love with my childhood home and everybody living there.
How old were you then?
I lived in the Marshall Islands from when I was 7 to when I was about to turn 12.
Out of all the schools you could have chosen, why OU?
I really love photojournalism. And when I was doing my research, I saw so many of my favorite photographers who had been coming out of Ohio University. And I went through and I wrote out down where all of my favorite photographers had gone to school. And I tallied it up and OU came up quite a bit.
Wow. They have some really good instructors there. I think they're really good at hiring professionals and then bringing them into the classroom. Like Sue Morrow, editor of the NPPA magazine.
Yes, the professors really are so supportive, and I really am so blessed and honored to be able to study under them. I wouldn't be half the photojournalist I am now without their guidance.
Tell me about the past year and about some of the photos and stories you've submitted in your contest entry. What do you think it was that put you over the top?
Most of my recent projects, I have been trying to address facts of the history that influences the present day. And with one of my photo projects, Where It Becomes Caught, I was examining how nuclear testing in the Marshall Islands, where I grew up, still affects those communities today. I really incorporated both my studies in photojournalism and history into this project, and it felt very much like a synthesis of everything I learned while I was at OU. And I really think having that space to combine my studies and create that synthesis has helped me become a better storyteller to where I could be recognized as College Photographer of the Year.
Tell me some of the singles that you submitted and how many photo stories that you did.
I submitted 2 photo stories and I think 6 single images.
What were they about?
So the photo stories, one of them was about the effects of nuclear testing on the present day. The other photo story was about a single mother who was also a nurse raising 2 high-risk children and who had lung conditions. And it was documenting how her stress was exacerbated by the pandemic, but really how their family came together. And in this time of isolation where they had to stay away from many areas where the kids could get sick, it was really about how that family found togetherness amidst isolation.
You're singles. Did they include any sports?
I really am not much of a sports photographer. I have photographed some sports. Last semester for my capstone class, I photographed dirt biking and it was very fun. But the image from that that's in my singles is actually of the sidelines. I really enjoy seeing those moments of humanity. And while I really, really respect all sports photography, I personally have never been able to do it very well.
These students just got done doing their sports assignment and they also have to do a fan picture because of just what you said, it's part of the experience. So they have to do an action shot, a reaction shot, a coach shot, and a fan shot, and a video. I call it documenting beautiful chaos because that's what sports is. And I did a lot of sports when I was a photojournalist at the Toledo Blades. And I think that it's really important to be able to document.
It really is beautiful chaos. That's it really is. Perfect way to put it.
What kind of cameras do you carry around with you on the daily?
I tend to stick to one body and I use a Sony a7 R2. And then I have a 24-70 lens, a 28mm lens, and a 70-200 lens.
Do you think eventually you end up with two camera bodies?
I think I will.
You probably will.
Yeah, I haven't bought one yet, but I definitely would like to work with two bodies and have maybe like a prime on each. Like I really prefer to zoom with my feet. And then I have like a very one track mind. So having one camera with one lens is really like, I feel like I find the best compositions when I'm limited to that.
Do you ever use your cell phone?
I have actually used my cell phone. I'm actually working on a portrait project through FaceTime right now, exploring virtual portraiture. It's interesting.
Wow. What gave you that idea?
I had it during quarantine, actually. Then I had some car issues and couldn't continue working on my capstone project for a class this semester. So I switched and decided to pull this idea that I had had for the last year and start working on it.
So how's life been since winning Student Photographer of the Year? Seems you're living a pretty crazy life right now.
It's definitely crazy. We had National Geographic photographer Erica Larson come visit my chapter of the National Press Photographers Association. It was really incredible having her out. And I feel like we all learned so much. And I'm so honored that she was able to come out and join. But that's usually what my week looks like. Just like running the club really has a lot of intricate moving parts. And I'm learning how to tackle that alongside my studies.
What do you think is the biggest takeaway that you got from her as a guest speaker coming in?
Everything she said was incredible, just really, really fascinating. But my biggest takeaway is when she told us that she was inspired by the first storytellers who are shamans. They were healers and storytellers. And I think the confluence of that and the way that storytelling and healing have grown together, I think that is just so moving. And really, I would really love to explore more of that in my work, just how storytelling and healing coincide.
And it seems to mesh with your history background as well.
It does. Definitely.
Coincidentally, was it coincidentally or was that by design?
Definitely coincidentally.
That's awesome. I've been teaching photojournalism a long time, and it's not easy. It could be very challenging teaching someone how to see in 4 months. This profession is a lot more than taking pretty pictures. As you know, there's light, there's composition, and capturing the moment. Tell us when and how you actually began to grasp that all of these concepts go together when making pictures.
That's a really good question.
It's a heavy question.
It is. I think it's definitely something we're taught. And I've found, I think I am able to fully like meditate on that and really begin incorporating it into my work in times of rest. Because when I'm just in a constant state of go, 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 I find I don't put as much into my thought of the work behind it. And it kind of slips away. And then it just feels like a constant chase for the moment. But times like quarantine, that really allowed me to step back and think about really, really planning out like how you're going to get to the story that you think is most important. and how you're going to build up the context where you can fully understand that. I actually, over quarantine, began developing a research project that I recently got funded, and I'll be traveling to Guam this summer to work on it. If I hadn't been put in that state where I had to really take a break from actually working, I don't think I would have fully synthesized everything in my mind. And I think I'm excited to spend that time thinking about it, as well as continue working much more than I was during quarantine. But I think it's really important to have time set aside where you can rest and think about what it is that you want to do with intention.
Good idea. As I've told you, this class is mostly print journalism majors, not photographers or photojournalists. But I've been emphasizing that having photography skills is still important. What are your thoughts on journalists taking their own images or journalists taking classes like this? Do you think it should be required for journalism majors to take a photojournalism class?
I definitely think it should be required for a journalist to take a photojournalism class. I think everything that you see becomes the way that you interpret that story. And when you translate that between visuals and between print and words, it's really a way that I've always considered how every aspect of the audience will consider the story, because just reading words or just looking at images can never fully tell it in the way that the widest amount of people can understand it, because every person has their own methods of learning and methods of understanding. And when you combine these disciplines, you're able to tell the story in its fullest and most true way with regard to every aspect that deserves attention.
Yeah, I think photojournalism is essential for multiple reasons. Documenting history, of course, is one.
Definitely.
Making changes in politics and laws.
It really is so integral to every aspect of these things, because when you're making that image, you are fully connecting the viewer to the story in a way that maybe words can't always do. And I think it is once you're able to connect people who are making the laws and people who are in a position where they can actually do something, then they are connected and they feel like they actually want to make that first step and start doing something.
You're currently working on stories about healthcare access and conservation of traditional medicine. What's drawing you to those types of stories? Is this just something that you're interested in now, or something that you think you'll pursue also in the future?
It's funny, because I thought for a while I just wanted to do environmental storytelling, but I think the more I've thought about it, the more really my entire center as a photojournalist begins when I absolutely shattered my arm and had to get airlifted to Hawaii, and my mom put the camera in my hands, because that was my first foray into photography, but it was also my first foray into a real form of healing. And I think, like, my best friend is studying to be a doctor. Everybody, like, everything in my life seems to center around healing. And I really think that the best storytelling I'm able to do is drawing on past experiences and what lies closest to my heart. So I think I'll definitely continue working on stories about healing, whether it's in hospitals or in forests. Really, just, I think that is a central topic to my work in the future as well as now.
Since you have a class of journalists who are basically forced to take this photojournalism class, can you offer them a bit of advice? Because I'm sure they're tired of hearing my advice.
I think for me, I've always found I'm able to make the most compelling images once I fully understand the story, whether that's researching legislation or really having an in-depth discussion with the people I'm photographing. I had this one interview once where my friend and I were working on a story about internet access. And then in our first interview, the mother pulled me aside afterwards and asked me to talk to her daughter about her abortion. I don't think I could have ever gone into that story expecting that without being, like, really opening myself up to the people I'm photographing, to where they were ready to share that. We actually did switch and start making the film just about the mother and the daughter's relationship. But I think really, like, opening your heart and being ready to talk fully honestly with the people that you're photographing is the best way to fully connect with the story in the way that will show through your images.
I tell them on the first day that taking photos of strangers is probably one of the most scary things that they're going to deal with in journalism school. It gets them out of their comfort zone. You know, students have panic attacks when they're forced to go out and stick a camera in someone's face and go up to them and get their names. It is really scary. And it takes a long time to get past that. But it sounds like you didn't have that issue because you just fell in love with it immediately. Did you have any of that in your past?
I definitely have that in my past. I actually am a very shy person. So my first year and a half, my first 2 years, it took a while. I very much was always scared to go to events and photograph because I just automatically assumed, oh, they're going to be mad that I'm doing this when photographing them. Any number of things that really wasn't actually going to happen realistically. But I think I'm the least nervous about it once I have like done that research and like understand the story and I have a clear grasp of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I still get nervous when I go to events and photograph. It's hard asking somebody to be vulnerable and allow you to photograph them. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm always nervous when I'm being photographed and I just know the person I'm photographing must feel exactly the same. So I really do my best to like put them at ease. And I think when Sarah at ease, it really kind of translates back to me. I'm also at ease.
So I think now's a good time to ask Erin questions.
Yeah, Dalen, hi. I wanted to ask, so you did mention that you are integrating this FaceTime project that you're doing. Could you go a little more in depth with that? That sounded like really interesting to me. So I would love to see what you are doing with that and how did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, so that project is, it's something new for me. I haven't done many virtual portraits at all and I haven't, it's about, so I personally, I have a unibrow and I think I have never been really ready to actually grow it out, but I'm really interested in women who do grow out their unibrows and talk to them about their journeys with self-confidence. So this is a virtual portrait series of women with unibrows who have found really like strong bases of self-confidence through kind of accepting themselves as they are and growing up their unibrows. I've found everybody through Instagram, except a couple of people that I already knew personally. And I'm really setting up times at weird hours to match it to their time zones because they're in like Melbourne and Germany and Malaysia and Seattle. And it's not quite in the line of my usual work, but I'm really enjoying trying something new.
How do you approach someone when you ask them if they have an interesting face? I mean, how do you approach them with that question?
Yeah, I know. I was very nervous about that actually. So I definitely emphasize that I have a unibrow, but it was really about being open to figuring out how to learn from them and like just really wanting to learn from them. I really, in my message, I established right off the bat that this project is meant to discuss women's self-confidence and body positivity, that I was also kind of in that situation, but not quite. Like, I don't know that I will actually grow out a unibrow, but I'm definitely really interested in learning about it. So I think when you're in a situation where it may feel awkward to ask somebody about that, just really establishing that you're there to learn. You're not there to kind of like bowl over them and tell their stories for them. Like you're amplifying their voices and in the process, learning yourself.
Out of all the photo stories that you've done, is there, you know, do you have like a top five that you really like and why?
That's a hard question because I feel like whenever I'm working on a photo story, I definitely enjoy working and working with the people, but I'm always looking at it back with that. There's things I could have done better. I'm looking towards the next work. I'm thinking how I could continue that work. I think top five, that's really hard. I don't think I have enough to fill out a top five. I like the two that I submitted for OMPA, and I definitely am going to be continuing them in the future to really make them, just to continue improving them, because I don't think a story is ever really something that you're going to finish. It's just an endeavor that you're going to continue working on as long as you can.
Are a lot of your photo stories and singles derived from class assignments?
You know, I think a lot of my singles actually, I was interning in Los Angeles this summer and a lot of them were actually just self-assigned because I was working on long-term video stories. So a lot of those singles are just things that I would go out and photograph, or maybe I had a portrait assignment for my work. I think there's one photograph in there that was from a single day photo session for one of my classes. And then the project that I worked on about aftermath of nuclear testing as it relates to Medicare accessibility, that one was actually my capstone project. And then the one about the nurse with the two daughters, that was also self-assigned. But I think every work that you do will influence the next. And at some point, it won't matter if it's for school or for yourself, because you'll find a way to really enjoy it and make work that is important to you, regardless of what you're making it for.
Crystal, you actually are a filmmaker. What drew you to that?
It was an easy way to not dedicate myself to one field, because I do media arts and studies. So I can do journalism, I can do film, I can do radio broadcast. And since I didn't really know what I wanted to do, it was a way for me to get a taste of everything without saying I'm doing this.
Like, that is definitely the way I think. I feel like integrating everything that you want to do, it really like elevates your work, and it in everything you do informs your photojournalism work. And yeah, without working on these other things, your photojournalism work would be static or not as representative of your own interests and what you think is important. So props to you. Like, that is amazing.
I also want to give a shout out to Ryan. I'm thinking he is digging the sports photography part of the class, and I really like your work. And I think that it's going to make you more hireable with whatever profession you choose. What's drawing you to sports photography?
So I'm a broadcast journalism major, and my end like career goal is to be a play-by-play announcer. And I've gotten some opportunities through Wayne State announcing the baseball games, doing their play-by-play. So I've been getting my feet wet in that side of things, but I just love sports growing up. I played since I was a little kid. So I've always been around, you know, multiple sports, and being able to photograph, you know, the action shots, the reaction shots. I really have a fun time with that. And I started an Instagram page when I moved down in the summer, and I've just been going around the city and trying to get some cool shots of buildings, people, et cetera. So
I also want to introduce you to Jenna, who is the editor in chief of the South End, which is the newspaper for Wayne State University. Jenna, how important do you think visuals are to your newspaper?
Visuals are very important for us. We have a multimedia editor, and we produce mainly digital content on our website, but we also typically do one print edition each semester. So visuals are a big part of that. All of our digital stories have photos often integrated in the story as a gallery, as well as cover images that accompany the posts on our website. And sometimes we do have separate gallery posts on the multimedia section of our website. And we also have a graphic design that we work with as well. And there's also opportunities for video content. But I would say every story that we do has pictures or graphics that accompany it. And it's very important.
One last question for you, Erin.
Oh, yes.
What is next for you?
What's next for me is I have received a couple grants and a scholarship, which will be supporting my travel and living in Guam this summer. I'll be working on a long-term photo story documenting this kind of culture clash between how the military is building up much of the island of Guam, and it is encroaching upon sacred spaces where medicinal plants are grown and used in traditional medicine by the Yawamti, who are the indigenous healers of the island. I'm really excited to work on it because not only is it, again, a synthesis between my history and photojournalism work, I spent 2 years researching it, and then a semester writing this really long paper for it. So it's also kind of a return to the area in which I grew up. Really, it feels like the synthesis of everything I've done at OU, because the buildup on the island is mainly because of rising tensions with China. And I've also studied most of my college career, I've studied Chinese history. So it's really, it's everything coming together at once. And I'm really excited to work on it.
I'm excited to see where you go with it. Because you are a student, we're going to have to let you go because you have a class at 3:15. Yeah. So I want to thank you for sharing your story of photojournalism success and for being an example and mentor for other students in Ohio and, of course, my Wayne State University students. You can view Erin's portfolio via a link provided on this podcast and the ONPA website. I am your host, Lori King. Thank you for listening to the fourth episode of the Buckeye Visualist. Keep an F2.8 mind, everybody.
You have been listening to the Buckeye Visualist, an ONPA production.